Good morning again. Well, as I said earlier, it's the fourth Sunday of Lent, but the first Sunday of spring break here in Arkansas. And I think about half the congregation let me know that they'd be traveling this week. So again, prayers for safe travel. And I'll admit that this week, as I was faced with another long and somewhat confusing gospel reading from John, that I was searching for another suitable scripture reading to preach on. So I landed on our old favorite, the 23rd Psalm. And knowing that it'd be a somewhat low Sunday attendance, at least attendance-wise, I thought it was a good time to try something a little different, a little, let's say, experimental. And I call this the Psalm 23 in the multiverse. So the multiverse has become something of a pop culture meme these past couple of years. This year's Oscar winner went to a multiverse story. It was the Daniels Everything Everywhere All at Once. Marvel and DC have populated movie houses with a plethora of multiverse stories. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Not 100% sure of the difference, but it warranted two whole movies, this multiverse did. So it's a thing. Merriam-Webster defines multiverse as, quote, theoretical reality that includes a possibly infinite number of parallel universes. And it's also a long-standing sci-fi storytelling device that features parallel worlds. So Psalm 23, Into the Multiverse, might look at various distillations of the familiar psalm across the centuries and imagine them living in parallel universes, each one meeting the needs of its particular listener, no matter where they are in time. Now, it's arguable that all the Holy Scriptures live in what might be called a multiverse, and that the message we get today will probably be a lot different than what we might receive in a day, a week, or a year. It's how the Holy Spirit engages with us at these specific times. But it's the familiarity of Psalm 23 and its brevity, it's only six short stanzas, I think, that make it ripe for a multiverse treatment. Now, the 23rd Psalm is being called many things, including a psalm of trust, of healing, a guide for life, a song of trust and confidence. And our very own C.S. Lewis called it a psalm of retribution, because of that tricky preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, which for Lewis meant dining in full view of your enemies so that they are overcome with jealousy and envy and presumably growling stomachs. And that strikes me as very specific reading, but whatever. So let's go through it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. So in this universe, this is about the relationship between humans and God. Many psalms start off with a lament. Think of the psalm just preceding this one, Psalm 22, which opens with, my God, why have you forsaken me? But Psalm 23 opens with an assurance, the Lord is my shepherd. The tough times won't mean God isn't there or hasn't or has forgotten me. The tough times mean that God is one who provides, and I can count on that. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. And God doesn't just provide, God provides in abundance, fertile pastures and quiet waters. This is a place of great gifts. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. God provides, provides in abundance, but God also restores. And we live not simply to live, but to pursue the appropriate relationship, the right pathways to God. But of course, as we know, life is not without its challenges, its problems. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd doesn't lead us away from the darkness, but leads us through it. Darkness, called out in this universe evil, must be acknowledged. The shepherd walks us through the midst of darkness, and the darkness isn't changed, but we are changed by it. We're changed through his presence beside us. And one of the things I love most about our particular brand of strain of Christianity is that we don't deny the existence of darkness, of suffering, of trial and tribulations. We also don't blame ourselves or God or a neighbor when bad things happen. We know that God is with us, even in the dark times. I think Lent, which we're in, is a great time to consider the ways we've encountered darkness and how it's changed us as a result. The psalm goes on, "You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over." Now, this is the verse that C.S. Lewis takes as a kind of dinnertime retribution. But a more generous reading might suggest that the enemies, those who trouble me, have denied me in the past. They've not shared their table with me. And God responds lavishly, offering abundance in spite of the enemy's lack of hospitality. "Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, the Hebrew word for follow can also be translated as pursue, which I like better. Surely God's goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. God's grace will seek me out, hunt me down, no matter how far I stray. And I will rest in his house of healing forever. It's the relationship God intends for us to have with him. Now, the universe of this particular reading of Psalm 23 speaks to a few things. It speaks to a trust in God, that no matter what happens and how distant God may feel, he's there. I can imagine the psalmists of the ancient Near East could feel very distant from God in the desert, surrounded by his enemies, unsure of what would happen tomorrow. And there are times in our own lives when we might feel distant from God, losing that trust that he's there, and might find ourselves in need of this psalm's universe to bring back the trust. Now, another spin at Psalm 23 was done around the year 1630 by the Anglican priest and poet George Herbert. He is one of the luminaries of our Anglican tradition, and a copy of his 23rd Psalm can be found on the back page of this morning's worship bulletin. It goes like this: "The God of love my shepherd is, and he that doth me feed. While he is mine and I am his, what can I want or need? He leads me to the tender grass, where I both feed and rest, then to the streams that gently pass. In both I have the best. Or if I stray, he doth convert and bring my mind in frame, and all this not for my desert, but for his holy name. Yea, in death's shady black abode, well may I walk, not fear, for thou art with me, and thy rod to guide, thy staff to bear. Nay, thou dost make me sit and dine, even in my enemy's sight. My head with oil, my cup with wine, runs over day and night. Surely thy sweet and wondrous love shall measure all my days, and as it never shall remove, so neither shall my praise." Now, the first clue that Herbert's Psalm 23 is in a different universe is in the opening line: "The God of love my shepherd is." This is a Christian shepherd attached to John's gospel, you know, the shepherd willing to lay down his life for us. And while Herbert speaks to abundance, like the other psalm, he also speaks to the quality of life. In both, I have the best. His is a psalm of gratitude. How much his life is enriched by devoting his life to the good shepherd. The psalm's dark valley is not God's fault, but clearly our own. He says, "Or if I stray," and God is quick to intervene. "He doth convert and bring my mind in frame." Another way of saying frame is order, brings my mind in order. See, he has this has a personal relationship with the good shepherd. Not for him are the right pathways that have already been preset. God meets him where he is and corrects him when he falls. And darkness also exists in Herbert's 23rd Psalm. He describes in poetic terms, Yea, in death's shady black abode, well may I walk, not fear. He's assured that God is with him. For thou art with me in thy rod to guide, thy staff to bear. See, in this universe, enemies abound as well, and we're forced to dine in front of them. But it's not Lewis's retribution dinner. Instead, it's a moment of tension. You almost imagine the enemies looking over your shoulder as you eat, ready to take it from you if you fall. Nay, thou dost make me sit and dine, even in my enemy's sight. And the payoff is one of incredible abundance. My head with oil, my cup with wine, runs over day and night. Herbert's cup is filled with wine. A nod to the Eucharist he's about to take. A nod to the Eucharist we're about to take. As I mentioned, his is a Christian psalm. And finally, the psalm ends not with goodness and mercy all the days of my life, but with an act of God, one he knows will always be there, always be loving. Surely thy sweet and wondrous love shall measure all my days. And he closes with a note of responsibility, what he must do, what we all must do, to enjoy the company of this good shepherd. As it never shall remove, so neither shall my praise. See, we have a lifelong responsibility to acknowledge and be grateful for God's love. So the universe of Herbert's 23rd Psalm is one of God's unremitting love and of the personal responsibility we take on as sheep under the watch of the Good Shepherd. Are there times when this Psalm's universe speaks to us? When we need to be reminded that God's grace isn't cheap and that we have work to do? That we have responsibilities to the shepherd? So those are two of the universes in Psalm 23 multiverse. The first, a complete trust in God, knowing that he's there even before we think he'll show up. We just know it. And the second psalm is a testament to God's love and a reminder of our responsibility and response. This is a universe where I have a personal relationship with God and God with me. Now the final universe that I want to walk us through this morning in the Psalm 23 multiverse is what might be called a postmodern psalm. It's a psalm of dialogue with God, both the inside our head kind of dialogue and the out loud kind of dialogue. And it reflects a place where our own self-doubt and recriminations nearly disrupt the psalm's message. But in the end, we finally get it, at least for now. And it's titled A Psalm of Rebecca Garrett Pace, who wrote much of this. Jesus is my shepherd, and honestly, I feel sorry for him because I can be quite a stubborn sheep. I shall not want, or that's how it should work, but yet I always want for more. I'm working on it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. See, Jesus is teaching me how to care for myself, so that then I can care for others, to care for the earth, so I can live in green pastures and still waters and not make a mess of it just because I can, to care for my soul, which is fed by gratitude and joy and kindness. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Unfortunately, he keeps talking too softly for me to hear him. So I keep having to guess what the right path is, and I go on a hunch and ask for forgiveness when I get it wrong. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. Well, that's just wishful thinking. I fear all the time, all the things, so much fear. But I am learning how to sit in the darkness and be open to what I might learn from it. And really, the most important bit is that you are with me. Your music, your friendship, your wisdom, your words, your kindness, your presence through others, they comfort me. Even though I am often afraid, then I remind myself that you are present in all the ways I can find comfort, knowing that that's what you want for me, your divine comfort. I find it in my friends, my neighbors, in the beautiful hymns we share this morning. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And you tell me that there's extra room at the table, and that it's actually your table and not mine. So I should scoot over and make room and invite my enemies to eat with me and give them that last piece of homemade bread and a little extra butter because that's what you would do, which is annoying, but I know you're right. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You protect and love me. You nurture, you guide, you heal me. God, I am so grateful. I am so incredibly overwhelmed by goodness in my life. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. I know deep down that I can trust in your being there, even if I forget sometimes. And when I do forget, and the goodness and mercy are obscured, oh God, help me know you're still there, that I'm in your house always, forever. Now, in some ways, I find this universe of the psalm most familiar. I'm always bringing my own doubts and fears and worries into my conversations with God. And it almost makes me lose the message, lose the connection. God's pursuing me. God's running after me to keep that connection. But then, bam, I'm back in it, at least for a bit. Oh, God, help me to know that you're still there, that I'm in your house. Always, forever. So that's one way of thinking about the multiverse of the 23rd Psalm. A universe always happening, always available for us to engage with at any time. So this morning, if we need to trust that God will deliver us, we have a universe. Or know that God's love and our responsibility for it, we have a universe. Or simply to remember to get out of our own way and let God in. There's a universe for that. These universes in this multiverse are ongoing, ready to meet us wherever we are. They are, like the movie says, everywhere, everything, all at once, just like God. Amen.